Hello and welcome to the Majlis Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's current affairs podcast focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, the host of the Majlis podcast and Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager here in Washington, D.C. With over 1,252 new cases over the past 24 hours, Kazakhstan registered the highest single-day increase in COVID-19 cases. Now, the total number of cases are well over 22,000 and counting. Among the latest cases are Nursultan Nazarbayev, Kazakhstan's first president, who remains an influential figure in the country as the leader of the nation despite stepping down from the active politics 1 year ago. New cases of COVID-19 are also rising in neighboring Kyrgyzstan, and despite complete lockdown on the spread of information, there are growing signs that the pandemic is also spreading in Turkmenistan. So on today's Majlis podcast, I'm joined by journalists, health and social workers from the region to discuss how serious is the new spike and what are the authorities doing about it. To discuss all these, I'm joined by Aybek Mukhammedov, the head of the healthcare program at the Soros Foundation in Kyrgyzstan, Gulya Jakubova, social worker based in Almaty, Kazakhstan, Darkhan Omirbekov, journalist based in Nur-Sultan, Kazakhstan, Bruce Panier, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. Thank you, colleagues, for joining us on this important conversation today. So, Darkhan, let me start with you. It looks like Kazakhstan is hitting a new record in the single-day spike for the past couple of days. What's the latest number and what the authorities are saying about it?
We are now seeing the record numbers every day. Today, it passed over 1,200 cases per day.
Right.
So, and the government is calculating a different way than the rest of the world. So starting from the June 3rd, they're counting only those who have symptoms and discounting those who have no symptoms or mild symptoms. So official numbers and real numbers differ from each other. And according to our estimation, it's close to 24,000 right now.
All together?
Yeah.
And the latest high-profile victim is Nazarbayev, as I mentioned, but he's just one of the many high-level officials who have tested positive in the recent days, correct?
Yes, yes. Yesterday, with Nazarbayev, there was another case. Vice Prime Minister Yeralı Tolcan was also tested positive for coronavirus. A couple of days before, Health Minister Yelcan Bertanov was tested positive for coronavirus as well. The Majlis Speaker Nurlan Nigmatullin has also got the coronavirus. There are two more government officials. One of them is Press Secretary of President Tokayev, Birik Vali. So the number of the government officials are growing day by day. We hear new cases every day.
Mm. Any update about Nazarbayev's health?
No, his press secretary, Aidos Sukubay, said that he's doing well and he's continuing his job online. But we are wondering what kind of job he is doing right now.
Right. As you said, Darkhan, you know, the real number and the official number might be different from each other. Is there anything officials are saying about the spike that we are seeing in Kazakhstan?
Nothing special. They're just blaming the citizens that they're not keeping the social distance. But I would argue that the people tend to not believe to the seriousness of COVID-19. So there are basically three groups. The first one, those who believe all the cautions very seriously. Second, those who do not believe to COVID-19. And the third ones, they say that we believe that the COVID-19 exists, but like the way how government is reacting is too much. But the government contributed to the stereotypes, to the people's idea that the COVID-19 is not as serious as people say.
How so?
For example,
I mean, you said the government contributed to this misconception about the COVID-19. How so?
Yes.
Any example?
They're politicizing the COVID-19 policy and the statistics. For example, on the 6th June, there were mass protests across the country, and they exploited health minister, sanitation officials to discourage people from attending protests. Meanwhile, did nothing to other people. For example, open markets. I've been there, and people behave like COVID-19 doesn't exist. Like, you know, like the most crowded place in the city, and people are not wearing masks. No any measures to protect themselves. The second one. Erdogan, on April 24, Nazarbayev said that our front is not flexible and we should think about relaunching our economy. Starting from that time, the government was reluctant to show the real numbers. They were speculating with the death toll. First, the local newspaper called Informbüro, then Azatlık revealed that the people who died from coronavirus, they were a lot more burial plots than the official numbers indicated. Right. And that means that they were hiding the people who died from the coronavirus. They were hiding the figures.
Right. Let me bring in Gulia here. Gulia, as a social worker, what do you attribute this spike to? What you guys are talking about? What is your assessment about what is really happening in Kazakhstan in terms of this spike?
Unlike some people who are very concerned about recent news on some of our politicians, including our first president, getting coronavirus, we social workers are more concerned about other issues, for example, increase of domestic violence. Actually, that's a concern that goes all over the world, but indeed in Kazakhstan, the numbers are quite serious. During the past 2 months of quarantine that we had 135,000 women called police reported domestic violence. Out of them, only 8,000 cases were opened and 4,000 cases were reconciled. The parties decided not to continue. That being said, the domestic violence situation, of course, isn't a big concern of our government right now. To say more, we have a domestic violence law that is actually doesn't protect the victim. The abuser, after the victim calls police, is removed for 3 hours, and then he comes, usually it's he, statistically, he comes back. So these are our major concern right now during the quarantine. And as you know, the government of Kazakhstan is, as Darkhan mentioned right now, is strengthening rules again. So we expect that the numbers will rise. Another, of course, concern of social workers is the economic situation. As you all can probably guess, the worsening of economic situation will definitely impact the lives of vulnerable populations, those who lost their jobs. And as you know, in Kazakhstan, during the past 2 months, people who lost their jobs received $100 per month. That's not a large amount, but still, it was some support. Right now, the quarantine measures are strengthening again. However, there is no news as of today that the payment will be made for another month, although many people still have not returned to their jobs. So that can definitely impact the situation of vulnerable populations.
Right. No, these are very valid concerns, Gulia. Thank you very much for that. Let me bring in Aybek. Similarly, Aybek, in Kyrgyzstan, you guys are also seeing somewhat of spike in new cases. What's the latest from there? What's happening?
So according to morning today, we have been registered officially 132 new cases of coronavirus. So that was today announced on the briefing in our government. And we could say that mostly the COVID-19 infection is spreading in two biggest cities. So in capital, in Bishkek, and of course in Osh city. Also in the surroundings in Chuy Oblast and in Osh Oblast. And one big spike of the cases of coronavirus infection was detected also in Naryn Oblast. So mostly all of these three oblasts and two cities are main hot spots, let's say, in our country.
So is this a new development, Aybek? This is what
you're saying. What about the new developments? Unfortunately, we could say that after the lockdown was finished at the end of May, all economical activities have been started to reload it. So we could say that, unfortunately, the infection is going up day by day. For instance, the last 3 days, we have more than 100 cases every day. So today was the record day, so when we have more than 130 cases just during one day. And unfortunately, this tendency is really bad. And today, our president conducted next, let's say, Security Council, national one, and gathered all of the key decisions makers of the government. And they discussed this emerging and very dangerous situation in our country. And according to the decisions of our Security Council, some statements were announced, and I could repeat some of them. So firstly, mainly the work of the national command, let's say, center, and the work of the Ministry of Health was announced as a non-efficient, and the work of many ministries, which are also in charge of you know, multi-stakeholder right. mechanism of national response to COVID-19 was also announced as a non-efficient. Mm-hmm. And there was announced that we need to, I mean, our country need to consider all of the joint efforts of the national stakeholders, of the international donor mm-hmm. agencies, and of course of the civil society organizations working in terms of COVID-19 right. On four or five, let's say, main focuses. So right. first focus is actually testing and localizing of these spikes which are going on in Bishkek city among the organizations, the state organizations, like for instance Rayon Akimiats or mayor office, or in some you know plants and factories, in some bazaars, let's say markets, etc. So I'm not saying about the medical institutions like hospitals and polyclinics. That's already you know going on for many months. So also second main effort should be around the conducting the massive informational campaign among the population, because the population is really having different, you know, fake news, different as double messages, sometimes even from national stakeholders. These messages are coming, I mean, double messages, like right. saying, for instance, as we have been already past the peak of the epidemic, one of our professors said it in the mid of May, and it was really harmful, I think, for the population in terms of understanding of generosity of the situation with COVID-19. So and the third effort should go for preparedness of the country national health system in terms of working with COVID patients on treatment, on preparedness in terms of ventilators and the equipment for this treatment, and development in terms of opening and preparing the new hospitals and new wards for the new upcoming patients nowadays. And the fourth and the last one is about the trying to mobilize all of the resources on providing the funding for working of these mobile teams, which work in all of these hotspots and which are going to the patients to home actually, and doing this testing and tracing, you know, activities, as well as mobilize the resources to workers to procure and supply them the PPE stuff, and to procure and supply all of this PPE stuff also for interior people who are also, you know, doing patrol of the streets, etc. So
Definitely we are going to explore that, Ivek, a little bit later. You know, I'm kind of curious as to, you know, we are seeing an kind of unusual spike here in the United States too, because towns and cities are opening up, but in Kyrgyzstan I think the measures have been loose forever. Is there any particular reason that we are seeing this spike now?
We have missions from WHO headquarters office. Also, we had mission of Chinese official delegation from Ministry of Health of China, and some of them were consulting our Ministry of Health by online regime in April and May. And all of the experts said that during two phase of this COVID-19 national response in Kyrgyzstan, our government was quite good in terms of providing and conducting these anti-epidemiological interventions in Kyrgyzstan. I mean, testing, tracing, and you know, localizing these, you know, spikes of the coronavirus infection, then working with in terms of quarantine and, you know, having people sitting isolated self-isolated, etc.
So, then why you are seeing this spike then?
Yeah. The problem then radically changed after the all economical activities started in the end of May, particularly from 1st of June, when all of the transportation started, you know, to work. Then all of the markets started to function, all of these big bazaars and all of these, you know, let's say, organizations in state and private and other sectors and non-government sectors, by the way. Okay. The second problem is that huge percentage of our population really don't trust to the official information. They think that the coronavirus infection is a fake, or at least it's just, you know, just simple flu or similar to simple flu infection. And so international donor agencies, you know, intervention, which is leaded to, you know, to having this, you know, 5G right. you know, technologies and these cheap technologies related to this statement from Bill Gates, etc. So there is a really huge misunderstanding among our population in terms of this COVID. And that's why people are not wearing the masks. They are not wearing these gloves. They are not, you know, protecting themselves and having these social distancing measures, etc. I think, the main problem of these spikes.
Okay, thank you very much, Aybek. And indeed, the latest news from Turkmenistan is that the authorities have quarantined the dormitory of Ashgabat's Medical Institute. This is according to our Turkmen service, and we had reports about the huge spike in hospital admissions. Bruce, any other thoughts from there?
You know, I don't have to tell you about Turkmenistan. They've been hiding this stuff from the very start. It's not just the one dormitory either. There's a couple other hospitals that are quarantined there right now. And, you know, the most that you might get from anyone working in those places, who many figure that they actually do have the virus. But officially, any of these cases are, if they do come up, are still listed as pneumonia. You know, and we heard that story from so many different countries that it's no longer credible. But it's obvious from the number of places that are locked down now, you know, individual buildings, not neighborhoods, not cities, but, you know, hospitals, for instance, that they have it. They just don't want to admit they have it.
Right. You know, whenever we speak about Turkmenistan, it reminds of Tajikistan, because Turkmenistan has been following Tajikistan's path, in which first, not only the authorities have ignored the pandemic, in fact, against all the odds, they organized massive events without any precautions. So then they started reporting about the growing pneumonia cases, as you said, and then suddenly reports about the corona outbreak hits the headlines when the hiding the pandemic becomes no more possible. Speaking of Tajikistan, though, I don't like to step ahead of my colleagues in the Tajik service of Radio Free Europe, Liberty. I hear that our colleagues in the Tajik service are about to publish a report which claims the death toll might be multiple times higher than what the authorities have been reporting so far in terms of the coronavirus fatalities. And Bruce, yes, Uzbekistan, in the beginning, you know, it has started reporting some cases, then slowed them down. Now it looks like the pandemic is no more a headline news. So what does that mean? It's over there, or they are not comfortable reporting about something? What's happening?
No, I mean, there is some evidence that it actually is going up. And before I jump to Uzbekistan, I would just mention, since you talked about Tajikistan, that they had a little more than 4,000 cases at the very start of this month, and 48 people dead. And now, when, 3 weeks later, not even 3 weeks later, they have about 5,300 cases, so it's gone up by more than 1,000, but only three other people died during that time, right, officially. So that shows you what you can believe about that. Uzbekistan, though, you're right. I mean, it's not far behind. Admittedly, they've added a couple thousand cases since the start of the month. That was 3,600 at the start of June, and it's almost 6,000 now. So, you know, it has gone up, but once again, I think the big problem here is the death toll that shows. Most people think that they surely must have more cases because Uzbekistan has the biggest population. You know, it's possible. There are reports that more than 500,000 Uzbek citizens have returned back from Russia since this started, because they're out of work. The figure of 6,000 total cases, especially when you look at Kazakhstan, with, you know, a little more than half the population, and, you know, more than three times the amount of registered cases, it doesn't add up. But as far as deaths, I had mentioned that Tajikistan only said three people died this whole month, and Uzbekistan isn't that far behind. They say four. So 15 dead at the start of the month, 19 today.
I wondered, Aybek, whether you have any kind of information coming out of Uzbekistan in terms of the impact of COVID-19 there in Uzbekistan.
Of course, I am not living in Uzbekistan, I could say my, you know, humble opinion about the situation only on the information which we are, you know, having on our official, let's say, channels from Uzbekistan and in some mass media, which we have in Kyrgyzstan. And by the way, I have relatives in Uzbekistan living in two cities, in Tashkent and Navoi. Mm-hmm. So they are saying that, unfortunately, the number of cases in Uzbekistan is rapidly also increasing, unfortunately. And despite the fact that the health system in Uzbekistan is much more equipped in comparing to Kyrgyzstan, just one, you know, example of it, in the one of the worst period in March, when we really in Kyrgyzstan, we had huge deficit of PPE staff for our medical workers. And we had a lot of, you know, contamination of medical workers in many cities and in many hospitals in Kyrgyzstan. Uzbekistan, you know, provided free of charge humanitarian aid in terms of PPE staff. stuff to Kyrgyzstan. So just one example showing that their health system is much more prepared. And the second, mark of it is that Uzbekistan, opened the big hospital for COVID patients near to Tashkent. Yes, equipped with ventilators, with all of the equipment. But the problem is that in Uzbekistan, we could say that according to official information, now they have around 15,000 wards in their hospitals, which are prepared in order to treat patients with coronavirus, which is, official statistic. And I couldn't say if it's you don't know.
Yeah, COVID. There are so many questions about that. And also the question is how many testings are taking place in all of those countries? Like yesterday, I was part of another conversation about the reasons of spike in Pakistan. Doctor from there was saying if a whole population is tested, 70% of them are going to test positive. So, there are huge questions around testing, how many testings are taking place and how they are taking place. So now...
Last sentence about Uzbekistan. So we have also huge rapid raising of the COVID cases exactly 3 last days, as in Kyrgyzstan, in Uzbekistan. So for yesterday, there have been 189 new cases of coronavirus. The day before, there was 230, and 3 days before, it was 183 cases. So there was a decision of the government, official decision of government, to close the markets, the big, malls in big cities and bazaars. And the one interesting decision was about the mahalla. Do you know mahalla? It's, a community which is really, closed, I could say, a cluster. Right. And they are trying to... I could say to limit the functioning of people in this mahallas. I mean, not functioning, but somehow to limit the movements of people in this mahalla. Right.
Now, as I said earlier, there has been concern all along that there might be a second wave of the pandemic. I guess China, which has been the source of this crisis, is witnessing sort of signs indicating a second wave. And also it was predicted that because countries cannot keep its doors shut for a long time, but once they open, social restrictions will ease and new cases will automatically grow. So what is the cause behind the spike in Central Asia? I kind of mentioned causes in Kyrgyzstan. Let's also talk about Kazakhstan. And also, except Turkmenistan, the other Central Asian countries have been in the situation in which they have gone through this. How is the previous experience kind of factoring in the authorities' response at this time? Finally, how they are coming out of this situation? Let's continue the Majlis podcast talking about these and many other questions very shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis podcast. I'm joined by from Bishkek, Aybek Mukhammedov, the head of the healthcare program at the Soros Foundation in Kyrgyzstan, from Almaty, Kazakhstan, Gulia Jakubova, a social worker who got her master's degree from the Columbia University School of Social Work with the concentration on the clinical practices. From Nur Sultan, Darkhan Omirbekov is joining us, who is Kazakh journalist. From Prague, Bruce Panier, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia, Blok Kishlok Owasi. I'm Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager and host of the Majlis podcast here in Washington, D.C. And we are discussing new spike in COVID-19 cases in Central Asia. Okay, let's start with maybe with Kazakhstan. Feel free, Gulia and Darkhan, whoever wants to join in. Earlier, Aybek was kind of talking about the cause for this spike of the COVID-19 cases. Kazakhstan has gone through some of these steps. Earlier, the kind of a lockdown part of the city or maybe cities. They have taken measures and I guess now they are easing up. I mean, in your opinion, what are factoring in? What are causing these spike in Kazakhstan?
This is my personal observation. The coronavirus came to Kazakhstan officially on March 13th, and a few days after, the government declared the emergency situation in country and allocated tons of money, like close to $14 billion, which is a huge amount of money in terms of Kazakhstan's economy. And at that time, the government was interested in portraying the coronavirus as a serious issue. And I think they were quite transparent at that time. They were sending like tons of messages every day. With every new case, we would receive messages about health situation, when he or she was born, where from he or she came from, etc., etc. The government was quite transparent, and there was a lot of information about anything the government was doing. But then they saw that they cannot afford complete shutdown anymore, because the people were started complaining, because like the $100 they were allocating was not enough for sure.
Right.
And then, as I told you, Nazarbayev came out by the end of April that you cannot just drain out all the national funds. And then the government understood that they cannot afford continuing this shutdown, and they opened the economy. But in order to justify their action, they started manipulation with statistics to portray the situation more like the more positive, that like they were just successful in fighting against the coronavirus. And then when the economy was open, people returned to normal life, like not wearing masks, doing the visiting other people, not keeping social distance. And here we have the results.
I also wondered, maybe Gulia can jump in here. I mean, Gulia, I know you have a kind of special concern about the impact of COVID-19 on vulnerable portion of the society. But my other question is, now that we are seeing this spike, I mean, when it started, for example, like as Darkhan said, like in March, the new cases were reported in single, maybe sometime in double digits. Now we are seeing this in four digits, like in terms of new cases. I mean, it sounds to me, a very serious situation is developing in Kazakhstan. But your opinion as a social worker, how serious is this?
I think this is very serious. And I think and I hope that this will demonstrate to everyone the importance of mental health of our population. As a social worker, I try to promote on social media and on TV that we, together with the government, together with NGOs, should start talking about mental health concerns in Kazakhstan. And it was an important issue for me before the COVID-19 happened, because maybe you've heard already suicide rates in Kazakhstan are quite high per capita, etc. However, right now, if you look at the hospitals that are overloaded, the population is actually really scared. They don't know the virus, the health system isn't well developed, and it can't take all the people who have symptoms. And, you know, mental health support is expected from the medical doctors. But medical doctors can't do that. They themselves need help and mental support. As you know, the spike actually also touched a lot of medical doctors. They are infected with COVID as well. So if we had a very good number of well-qualified social workers who could go now and reload the job of the doctors and work with the populations, give them mental health support, give them psychological support, sometimes psychotherapy online, for example, giving them instruments, even simple instruments like meditation, breathing exercises. For some people, this is like strange things, like a fairy tale, but they proved scientifically working and bringing the anxiety level down. So I really hope that one good thing from this COVID-19 will be that our government and ministries, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Social Work, will realize the importance of mental health of Kazakhstani population.
I also wondered, maybe, you know, feel free, Gulia, if you want to comment on that. And the question also goes to Ivek. The region has gone through this back in March, in April, when the spread of COVID-19 has started. I assume, as a result of that, they have a better understanding of the situation. But are they responding differently this time? Do you see that they have learned their lesson and they are responding accordingly now that they are facing a new spike in COVID-19 cases?
I will say about Kyrgyzstan, of course, as I'm living here and working with our main stakeholders, I mean Ministry of Health and our decision makers on the city level of health system, etc. So the good thing, I think, in terms of this new spike, or let's say wave of the new cases of COVID-19, is that I think, it's my humble opinion, one of the key stakeholders in our government, exactly, particularly those who are not medical workers, who are not affiliated to the Ministry of Health, let's say, area. So, for instance, people who are sitting at the government on high level, they realized during these 3 days that it's a really dangerous situation.
Why you say that?
Discussions with officials, they are saying I mean from the Ministry of Health, they are saying that it was really for them difficult to explain to some of our decision makers that we really still are not faced to the real wave of the COVID-19. Right. I mean in March and in May. Now these decision makers who didn't understand it before, they are really seeing the dangerosity of the situation now. And now we could stress the main four or five components of national response, which I mentioned before today. And now we could really try to mobilize, let's say, resources and actually to mobilize the government efforts on the real work with our population and real understand that they are the main examples of their behavior. You know, for instance, today there was a not scandal, but huge discussion in our mass media and social networks that there was a big photo of our government and of the ex, let's say, prime minister transferring the power to the new prime minister. It was yesterday. And there was a huge photo of, let's say, more than 100 people staying on the, you know, stairs near to the government, you know, building. And, you know, all of them were without masks, you know.
So, so they are not learning the lesson. That's the translation of this photograph to me. I mean, my question was, are they responding to it differently now that they are going through this second spike in COVID-19? Are they realizing that this is a serious thing?
That was the you know, discussions in our mass media and social networks. Are they really realizing the dangerousness of the situation? Mm-hmm. And then was an official statement from our government that it was, you know, just, you know, let's say 5 minutes, you know, photo, and all of them are wearing masks. It was just, you know, one case, so and all of the people not wearing mask will be, you know, punished, I mean from government officials, etc. But the good sign was on this today's Security Council under the president, when there was a really huge concern about the situation in government within these recommendations which they produced and developed. And we see that from tomorrow morning, some different algorithms of work of our health system and some algorithm of work within this multi-stakeholder mechanism of national response also will be changed, etc. So I'm really hoping that we will see some, you know, very active response from our government in near these days.
Okay, let's take, Bruce, your thoughts on that. I mean, kind of I was stressing on the same point. Now the countries, most of those have gone through this once, and now that they are faced with the second sort of wave or spike, whether they are acting differently, whether they are responding differently, whether they are using those experiences, those mistakes in the past to deal with this little bit differently. Are you seeing anything like that? Have you seen any steps, any corrective steps that the authorities are taking this time?
Well, you know, I mean, Kazakhstan developed a system of what I think it's a lockdown would be reimposed if the infection rate is more than 7%. I forget how they, over what period of time they're marking that. But so, you know, they've come up with a new way to explain what their measures are going to be. You know, we don't have anyone from Tajikistan, but of course, Tajikistan, and it's hard to say if this is actually the second wave or if it's just been first wave has kept going.
Yeah.
But, you know, they imposed like real strict penalties on people that don't wear masks. Mm. You know, you mentioned they were real late, you know, deciding that they had cases, you know, and they also had large public gatherings and stuff. But now if you don't have a mask, it's jail time, you know, and serious jail time too. I forget what just recently, but it can stay like a year or two or something for not having a mask. So they've gone all the way in the opposite direction, practically from saying there was none of it to like, if you don't have masks out in public, you're going to jail, you know. And in Uzbekistan, you know, they've kind of come back and forth. They have that strange system of like colored zones. The red zone is like heavily contaminated, but the yellow zone is more or less okay and you can move around. And they said they would, you know, reevaluate and review these situations in all these areas constantly to try to figure out if some were getting better or worse and might have to change their color code. You know, so I mean, they've come up with new ways to talk about it, you know, but then again, we also see a lot of the deaths being attributed to pneumonia still, really, in all the countries, you know, when in fact, every time you hear the word pneumonia anymore, you're suspicious immediately that this was a coronavirus related death somehow.
You know, the again, referring kind of our discussion yesterday in Pakistan, like any sort of illness these days are suspected corona unless it is proven otherwise. That's the doctor's message these days. Okay, I think we also need to be wrapping up the discussion very quickly. Maybe just a couple of last, you know, points here, Darkhan. So what's the discussion in Kazakhstan? If it keeps growing, what kind of measures the authorities are talking about to take going forward?
The officials threaten to use the strict measures of quarantine if the number goes up. But right now, the people are in panic, especially where I am right now in the Kazakh capital, which is leading the coronavirus cases in comparison to other regions. People are in panic because within the last couple of days, more and more popular or the top officials are getting the virus. And people are anxious to test to see if they have the virus. And right now, in these days, the giant private labs like Alim, In Vivo, In Vitro, they said that they're stopping administering the COVID-19 test for a few days until Monday. And can you imagine the panic, how people's panic increasing with these new announcements from the private labs? Like before, people were complaining that the private tests are very expensive. They cost like $40 around, I don't know. Like, but right now, people are saying that, okay, we are ready to pay, but and now labs are closed. They are not just doing the tests. And today, the acting healthcare minister, Lazat Atayeva, told us that so far, Kazakhstan accomplished 1.2 million tests. And they were boasting that in comparison to the United States or other states, we are doing a lot more tests. And they're like, we've done 78 tests per one COVID case. But I would argue that how efficiently they're doing their tests, because I know that the medical staff, they're just taking tests every day. The government officials also, they're taking their tests every day. So we are in the capital. There are many government officials, including the parliament members, the ministers and prime ministers, vice ministers and the other staff. So although we have like comparatively high number of tests, it doesn't mean that they're just covering a lot more people. It means that the same people are getting the tests every day.
Right.
So that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think we need to be ending the discussion here. Just last point from you, Gulia. If this spike continues, what are some of the concrete measures as a social worker you advise your government to take going forward to avoid a crisis?
Well, first of all, of course, the panic should go down because the majority of people who have coronavirus do not have symptoms. And definitely staying home with your families, drinking lots of water. There are lots of information on what medicine people should take. And I think, as Darkhan also mentioned, that the government will definitely strengthen the quarantine. The hospitals will be loaded up if the situation continues like right now. So I expect that people will realize that we can't control it like we could do it 2 months ago. Staying home, staying calm, taking care of our own health and the health of our loved ones, and we can overcome the second spike.
Is there anything that authorities could be doing?
To be honest, I think right now, strengthening quarantine, definitely, and closing the borders of large cities like Nur-Sultan and Almaty is required.
Okay.
Could I add just two conclusions for Kyrgyzstan? Very concrete one.
Sure, yeah, just so, very quickly.
So we have two conclusions. First conclusion, prevention is essential. So it's critical to combine a phased transition after lockdown with key epidemiological prevention interventions, such as quarantine for those who had contact with positive cases, self-isolation if symptomatic, and screening testing, as well as social distancing for the reduction of the infection transmission. So the conclusion number two, rapidly scale up screening and hospital capacities. So we need to, during these quarantine measures, our government would prepare to the new spikes and new wave of coronavirus infection cases, and had to mobilize the capacities in terms of treatment, diagnostic, and care for the patients. Thank you very much.
Right. I think in some countries, the capacity is also a big question, whether they have this capacity to handle this. Bruce, anything you would like to add? Otherwise, I'm going to conclude the discussion here.
I think mandatory masks would go a long ways. In countries that have implemented that, it seems to work and help to flatten the curve, as they say.
And also be transparent and just don't hide it. We're just kind of guessing the scope and size of this pandemic in Turkmenistan, and they are not really working with any other international organization, apparently. So transparency might be another factor that could positively contribute in handling the situation. Okay, with that, thank you very much, Bruce Panier, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia, Blok, Kishlok, Owazi. Also, big thanks goes to IBEC Mukhametov, the head of the healthcare program at the Source Foundation in Kyrgyzstan. Gulia Jakubova, social worker, was joining us from Almaty, Kazakhstan. And Darkhan Umirbekov, the journalist based in Nur Sultan. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your participation on today's important discussion on the Majlis podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And this is from me, Mohammed Tahir, ready for your Freedom Liberties media manager and host of the Majlis podcast here in Washington, D.C. See you next week. Bye-bye.